Today we're going to continue our series on Multiply. This is the sixth sermon in this series that we started at the first of the year. And we are learning what it means to position ourselves for God to multiply in our life. The first part of the January, we spent January talking about positioning ourselves for God to do something that we get back to put in Him, returning back to our first love, getting Him first in our life. Last week we talked about what happened to our dreams and allowing God to come back and speak to us again. And God, oftentimes, He wants to give us a kingdom dream. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought from the inside out. From the inside out. I know so many people who just aren't happy in their life. Many of you here, you struggle with happiness. And many of you here, you know people who struggle with happiness. And we see this same thought that people are always trying to find happiness. Isn't that so true? We all know people who are searching. If it's not you, you know somebody who's searching for happiness. And we always buy into the lie that change will bring happiness, right? If I can just change my appearance, I'll be happy. If I can just change it. So we go on big diets, or we go to a big change in our appearance. We think if we change our hair color, that's going to make us happy. If I change my hairstyle, I'm going to cut all my hair off. That's going to make me happy. I think that if I change, you know, the color of our hair, or we think we're going to change the color of our teeth, I suggest white. It's always a good color to go with. No lie, I saw the other night on a show where they were trying to promote neon lipstick, you know, neon green and purple. It's like, you know, people want to be happy and want choices. So they're like, no, they don't need that happiness. Anyway, people think if we can just change our appearance, our looks, we're going to be happy. We think if we could change my job, right? If I could just change my job, I'll be happy. And we look for another job, but then we go to another job and realize, boy, this job is harder than the last job. This boss is more of a pain in the you know where than the last job. So changing jobs doesn't bring happiness. If you're in a marriage that's tough, sometimes we think changing marriages is going to bring me happiness. And that's not always the case. I tell people, those of you who've come to me for counseling, you know that I've talked to you about marriage, that whatever problems you're facing now, if you don't deal with them, they will find themselves repeating in the next marriage. That you're just putting them off, and eventually you're going to have to deal with some of the issues that you need to work through in order for you to learn to be the spouse God wants you to be. And so I know there is times when one person doesn't want to work and they abandon what God needs to do in the marriage, and divorce is no alternative. But I believe many times we buy into the lie right away that if I can just change spouses, I'm going to be happy. And that's not true at all. Many times you get into a worse situation than you was before. I've seen people who say, if I can just change locations, I'll be happy. I've been raised in this area all my life, and I can just move to the big city, I'll be happy, you know. And then you get there and realize, man, I hate this traffic. I hate the schools there. I hate that. And you're just not happy. You see, because changing locations won't make you happy. Changing appearances is not going to make you happy. Plastic surgery is not going to bring true happiness. It may bring some improvement, but not true happiness. My wife makes a comment all the time. She's joking. She says, all old barns need some new paint once in a while. Nothing wrong with changing some appearances. There's nothing wrong. But I'm trying to tell you is that happiness is not found in those things. True happiness and real change can only come from God. Let me say it again. True happiness and change only comes through a relationship with God and what God wants to do on the inside of us. That's the only way it's going to happen. The void you have will never happen by changing spouses or jobs or degrees. It just won't happen. It only happens when you allow the Holy Spirit to do something in your life. John 16, verses 13 says, but He, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We see this word, Spirit of truth, is used to describe the person of the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Comforter many times, but He's also called the Spirit of truth. He comes to us. He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears and what He will tell you what is yet to come. Oftentimes, this may sound kind of controversial. I think I said it before a while back, and I want to repeat it again today. Now, I've heard people say, we just need more of the Holy Spirit. And I want to argue with you. I don't believe we need more of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit needs more of us. The Holy Spirit's been released. The Holy Spirit, he says, I must go away that I can send the Comforter, the one who will guide you. The Holy Spirit's being released. The problem is with us. We're not giving up control on the inside. We're fighting control, and we're saying, I want to be in control. And the Holy Spirit is saying, all right, when you're ready to give up control, I got this. I will change you. I will bring you destiny. I will show you and lead you into all truth. See, you're trying to find, what is my truth? What is my destiny? And it'll never happen until you allow God to change you and lead you from the inside out. I don't change my outside and hope it changes my inside. No, I change from the inside out, and then my outward things will follow. But true happiness, true change takes place on something that happens on the inside of me. And we got to learn to say, yes, Holy Spirit, have control in my life. That's simple prayer today. Yes, Holy Spirit, have control of my life. Every morning when I get up, you've heard me say this. Many times I get up, and in my spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, let's roll. It's my way of saying, you're in charge today. You're in charge of my life. And it's just sometimes a simple thing, but we say it because I want to make sure my heart, my mind, and my spirit are in agreement that the Holy Spirit is leading my life today. We all long for transformation. I mean, the gyms are full in January and February, aren't they? I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, man, you can't even find an equipment, you know, and you go to work out and maybe you're working and you go to do two different things and you come back and someone's sitting and working out in your spot. And gym rats, you know this, we're always like, man, I'll be glad when February gets over, because we know most people quit. All the new people quit. 90% of them quit. That's not a good thing, but it is for those who like being there every day and want to not share. That's not me, but I heard other guys who do that. But anyway, we all long for transformation. We all say, this is the year. I said it for like 8 years. This is the year I get back in shape. This is the year. You know, it took me a while to stick with it. It took me a while to get where I wanted to get. And it took me a while to get there because I wanted transformation. But true transformation starts on the inside. Anyone here have teenagers in your home? You know, I hate it when we have a game and my kids get excited. We got the big game. Our team's playing. You know, and everybody's like, yeah, I can't wait. What time's the game start? And they're like, you know, they're counting it down. They're all excited. And we sit down to watch the game. And then they get their phone out. They start texting and start getting on the app, playing some game. They're on social media, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. And next thing you know, they're slipping upstairs, going out in another room. I look around like 5 minutes in the game, and they're all gone. And they were so excited. And they'll come back in, and they're like, all right, I'm ready to catch the second half. I'm like, there's like 2 minutes left in the game. Where have you been? I taught you better than this. Come on now. We're true fans. And I want to be like, the most important thing is what's happening right here in front of you. And you're so distracted with all these other gadgets and things going on. You're missing it. That's really not the truth, is it? Because the most important thing is not what's going on in front of you. The most important thing is what's going on inside of you. That's really the truth. What's happening on the inside? That's what's important. What is God doing on the inside of you and me? We all want to be transformed. We're learning. You can change everything about your looks and your location and your job. But listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. Write this down. This is not on your overhead, but I want you to write it down. To alter your life, you must get to an altar. To alter your life, you must find an altar. What is an altar? I'm not talking about just coming to a front of a stage somewhere and kneeling. I'm talking about a place where you meet God. Making a place where you say, I'm meeting God today. I'm making this an altar, a place where I'm saying, God, I'm ready to meet you today. God, I want to encounter you. God, I want to be with you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it like this. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is what? Is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. See, true change, true transformation happens when we let the Holy Spirit have control of our life. from the inside out. It's what the Holy Spirit's doing. That's how I get led to change. This is what brings true reformation and transformation in my life. Change only comes when I allow God's Spirit to work within me. Now, some of you kids today, you have no idea the pain we had growing up. How many remember when cartoons could only be found at 3:30 for like 30 minutes after school and on Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock? Nowadays, it's like, you know, 5,000 channels and you can watch anything you want to watch anytime, either on TV or pull it up on instant view on the internet. You can just watch it. It's no big deal. But when we were kids, if you didn't make it home in time from school, you could miss half or all those cartoons. Like, hey, get off. You stop them by the store. Ah! I mean, I can't watch cartoons for another day. I mean, you know, we had these big boxes of like 12 channels. You had to push the button. It was never know the pain. Anybody here remember Popeye growing up? It was an old cartoon when I was a kid, more or less, today. Popeye was one of my favorites growing up. I loved getting home watching him. Popeye, you know, he would, remember Popeye? He had his girl, Olive Oil. Popeye! Remember that Popeye? Anyway, she would always be harassed by Brutus. And Brutus would always come and try to flirt with Olive Oil and take Olive Oil away from Popeye. And I'm always like, Popeye, have you seen her? Let her go, dude. Just let her go. You can do much better. I never could figure that one out. But he would always chase after her and try to rescue her. And then Brutus would use his power and tie him up or pick on him and do something. And Popeye would take all this abuse until finally he would get so mad. Remember what he would say? I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. And he'd take his spinach and eat it, and all of a sudden, the Hulk would come out of him, and he'd have this superpower, and he'd just get go crazy. You know, I think that's the way something on the inside of us has got to awaken. We got, at times, got to say, God, you know, I can't stand no more. It's time for me to come alive on the inside. It's time for me to awaken to my God-given destiny. Change isn't happening the way I thought it was going to happen, through a changed relationship or a changed look or a changed job. Something's got to give, and what's got to give is on the inside of us. I am learning to let the Holy Spirit change me from the inside out, submitting to the Holy Spirit in my life. So how do we do this? How do we get to the place where we allow God's Spirit to change us from the inside out? Number one, change begins with an encounter with God. Change begins with an encounter with God. Last week I talked about what happened to your dream. And remember I talking about when God comes and interrupts our schedule, our daily routine, that he will come and speak a dream to us. Kind of along that same line today, that man, change happens when we have an encounter with God. Write this statement down. I want to give it to you. It says, I say many times, we want the provisions of God. Many times we want the provisions of God, but we don't want the commitment to God. We want God's provision, but we don't want a commitment. We've all seen people, and some of you have experienced it, where we know people who, they want the provisions of marriage, but don't want the commitment of marriage. Ladies, if you know a man who wants the provisions of marriage, but doesn't want the commitment of marriage, you give him the right foot of justice. Because if he don't commit, he's just one less problem you need in your life. Move on. See, if we want the provisions, we need the commitment. And many times in our life, we do the same thing with God. God, I want the provisions of a relationship with God, but I don't want the commitment. See, it takes commitment to move to the next level. It takes commitment to let the Holy Spirit lead you and change you from the inside out. How do you feel about your children, your teenagers? You always come and say, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. but they don't want to clean their room. They don't want to pick up after themselves. They don't want to spend any time with the family. At some point, you're like, all right, you're being a teenager. But at other points, you're like, time out. I'm not an ATM. If you want the blessings that come along with being my child, we need to spend some time together. We need to have some communications. And some of us have the same problems, is that we want God to be the father and give us all the provision, but we don't want any commitment to the family. I'm preaching better than you saying amen today. That means it must be really hitting you on your soft-toed shoes. We got to learn today that God is wanting that commitment from the inside out. I love the story of the leopards in the Bible. And it's an amazing story. We see in the biblical times when someone had leprosy, they were banned. They were outcast to the outside the gates of the city. And they had to live together. And if someone began to approach them, maybe a guest or a visitor or somebody was coming, a traveler, they would see them coming. They would ring a bell really loud and they would yell out, unclean, unclean, don't come by here. We got leprosy. I mean, don't come near us. Get away from us. We're unclean. And I thought, you know, this is so true, such a tragedy we see in Scripture, because the one time these people really needed help, they couldn't receive it. The one time they really needed encouragement, they couldn't receive it. The one time they need somebody to really do something, they had to say, stay away. And we see the story of the leopard in Matthew 8, 1 through 3, where it says the large crowds followed Jesus as he came down from the mountainside, and suddenly a man with leprosy approached him. He knelt before him. That's what it says. They knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing. He said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. This is an incredible story, because we realize that when someone has leprosy, that it eats away at their flesh. Their skin begins to be eat away, and then the next follows their tissue and the meat of their bones. And you'll see many times with lepers, they have big holes in their arms and their face and their flesh, their legs, where their flesh is rotting away. And many times they'll lose limbs that just fall off because their whole limbs have just rotten away, decayed to the point where they just fall off. And I had a friend of mine who was a missionary to Ethiopia. And I think I shared this story several years ago, and I want to share it again because it fits this story. And he was telling me firsthand knowledge, just this man had done crusades with 500,000 people in attendance at one time. They were taking aerial shots, and they would send them off, and they would say, doing landmass studies to see how many people are in there. They would estimate, say, man, you're having up to 500,000 people showing up at one time, people walking for weeks to be in a crusade to hear about Jesus that had never heard about Jesus before. And before he did these big crusades, he started off living in Ethiopia as a helicopter pilot. And he had a helicopter, and him and his pilot, they would fly into remote villages and go to people groups that had never, ever heard the gospel before. And they had this one particular village that no one had ever, as far as they know, no one's ever documented, had never had any English-speaking person, especially no person from the gospel had ever been there to share the gospel of Christ. So they were trying really hard to get into this village. And they were having mechanical problems. They were wrecking their helicopter. They had the pilot got something wrong with them, and were trying to fly over there really sick. It took them a long time to reach the village. But finally, they had a breakthrough and reached the village. And they went to the village. And when they went to the village, they flew over. He goes, I'll never forget. We flew over the top of this region and right to the village. And all the native people were out there and they're like, looking. Like, of course, they'd never seen a helicopter before, number one. And number two, they were just amazed at what was happening. And they come in and said, we could see these altars that the witch doctors had built all around the city. And they had sacrificed and made a fleece out to their gods, a Baal and different other Satan and other things that they were worshiping, idols. And they said, you keep these men away from our village. They had heard rumors that they were coming to share the gospel. And they said, you keep these men away from us. And they tried. That's why there was such a resistance of them trying to get into the village. But finally, they made it in the village. And they were shocked. And they said, why are you so shocked? And they told them the story. He said, man, we prayed to our gods and we sacrificed that you would make it into our village. And then they saw the king, and then they saw the king's daughter, and the king's daughter had leprosy, and she was eaten up with leprosy. Said she had half of her arm was missing. from the flesh being rotted off her arm and even spots on her face. He said that he just prayed this prayer through the translator. He said, God, so these people may know that you're the one true living God. I pray for healing for the chief's daughter, that she will receive healing in Jesus' name. And right before their eyes, in front of the whole village, skin and meat began to grow back on the girl's arm. In a matter of seconds, her face went back to normal. You're talking about flesh growing back on the arm. This is firsthand account. This isn't something I read in the book. I heard it from somebody I know as a personal relationship who told me this story, and who was very trustworthy, one of the most trusted crusaders in Africa's ever known. And flesh grew back. So can you imagine this happening there? Jesus prays for this man, and flesh instantly goes back on his face, his arms, his legs. The meat goes back. Muscle tissue returns. Great miracle. Great encounter with God. But how did it start? It started with one man who says, I've got to encounter Jesus. See, he was supposed to stay away. He was an outcast. He had to ring the bell. And all of a sudden, this man shows up breaking every rule. Why? Because he was desperate for an encounter with Jesus. I wonder how many of us, our lives would be changed if we would get desperate for an encounter with Jesus. We need an encounter that would change our life, not a one-time experience. Well, Pastor, I remember back in 1984, I had an experience, an encounter with Jesus. Great. Praise the Lord for that. But what have you done lately? See, we need to encounter him on a regular basis. I need to encounter him often, saying, God, I need those times when you're altering me, changing me from the inside, where I'm giving up control to the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about giving up control to the Holy Spirit, letting him lead me. We need an encounter that will change us. Hebrews 10:22 says it like this. Let us draw near to God. We need an encounter. We got to draw close to him. The children of Israel. Remember when they were freed from Pharaoh's slavery of Egypt, and now they're going to the promised land. You've heard me teach about it. What should have took about 2 weeks to get there took them 40 years. Amen. They had to travel 40 years for them to get to the promised land. And what happened was this, they would start off traveling and God was trying to do something in their midst and they were not ready for it. They rejected it. So God was like, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. A 2 week journey turned into 40 years because they were not willing for God to do something from the inside out. They kept circling the same path over and over and over again. And God kept them going in circles until he could change them from the inside out. He had to raise up a generation who was willing to be changed from the inside out. And I think oftentimes he does this in our life, that God says, I want you to do another lap, because spiritually we're not in shape for where he wants us to be. I remember one time in high school, we were getting ready to play for the state championship. And so our school was, our season had been extended. And so now we're playing. Now it's past Thanksgiving time or right there. And it's, we have an early winter hit and it's freezing rain. And it's getting really cold outside. And so the coach let us practice in the gym because the weather was so bad outside. There's freezing rain. And he said, all right, we're going to go to the gym today and do some conditioning and do our plays in there. And we never, ever practiced in the gym ever before this day. It's the only time I ever remember it happening. And there's a reason why. Because the cheerleaders were playing and practicing in the gym. You know how hard it is to keep a bunch of high schoolers' attention? And so I remember we had the track set up. And one of the areas we had to run was you actually would go underneath part of the bleachers and then come back at the track on the other side. So we're running several laps. I forgot how many laps that this particular one to run the miles. And he has running several miles to get in shape. And we're out there doing our conditioning. And when you got through coming through that blind spot where you could actually go through the bleachers where the coaches couldn't see you, nobody could see you, then you come out, then the cheerleaders are right there practicing. That's fine. Because every time we come by the cheerleaders, like, you know, this is really strutting it, the high gear. until you get into about 12, 13, 14. And you're like, I remember we were like, we started getting kind of smart. We thought, we're like, all right, let's just kind of rest as we get underneath there, catch our breath, walk until we get to the end when nobody can see us, and then take off running really fast right in front of the girls. Hey! Trying to impress them. And I remember the coach kind of got wise and figured it out. He put an assistant coach over to watch us, and if he caught you slowing down, not giving it your all, he would say, start over. And no matter if you're on lap 15 or 20, whatever he'd given you assignment, you had to start from one. Recount again. If he caught you loafing, one. Why? Because he was trying to do something inside of us that when we got into the third and fourth quarter, that we wouldn't give up when things got tough. He needed somebody he could trust to push mentally through their pain, through their challenge, not to give up when things got tough. So God does the same thing to us, that he's pushing us, and he's saying, are you ready spiritually for me to change you from the inside out? Are you ready? Are you conditioned to go where I'm trying to take you? If not, do another lap. Keep running in circles. Keep running in circles, but until we allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out, we'll keep doing circles and circles. No, God, I stop and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, let the Holy Spirit change me from the inside out. We need an encounter that will change us from the inside out. And number two, change demands new thinking. Change demands new thinking. Often, I'll be walking out of the car or somewhere into a store, and my wife will yell out, you, to one of our kids, you walk just like your dad. You can't deny that kid. I'm like, what? She goes, you can't deny that kid. Why? He walks just like you. Or she walks just like you. I mean, you might want to try to deny him all you want to. I've had a few that I wanted to deny a few times. I'm like, we're going to Maury. We're going to find out who is the father. You can't be my child. But I can't deny them because they walk and talk and act just like me many times. And I get frustrated with them and I look, it's like looking in the mirror. That's why I'm frustrated, because they act just like me. It's frustrating. And I realize something. We're all growing into our parents. That should scare you. It scares me. We're turning into our moms and dads. How do we know that someone's our child? You ever had someone who said, are you so-and-so's child? Like, how do they know that? Oh, I know your father. I know your mother. You act just like them. See, how do people know we're a child of the King? We act just like them. We walk like them. We learn to think like them. We learn to have his thoughts. We learn to allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view, everybody say in the view, of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In view of God's mercies. We got to have a view of God's mercies. We need to learn to see God's mercies in our life. We need to have a view of God's mercy for us, and God's mercy for other people. We need to learn to see the way he sees. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the thinking of this world. That's what it says. What? Be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. We did a lot of teaching on this last summer. And if you missed that series on Breaking Bad, you need to go back and pick it up when you have some extra time. I encourage you, go back on our website. You can go back to the summer. We spent 16 weeks. God did something really amazing as we talked about breaking the bad spirit, bad cycles in our life. And a lot of that time we spent talking about this whole thing right here, the transformation of the mind, that this is where the enemy attacks us. This is where we guard our heart. It all starts with the guarding and renewing of our mind. And if you want to change from the inside out, It's got to happen from your mind. You got to change the way you think, the way you view things. We've heard stories, and I'm sure you've read stories. I've read several stories of how scientists and laboratories have experimented with certain things like frogs, certain animals, and they put them in a cage, and that animal will jump out. The frog will jump out of its box, out of its container. And then they'll put a lid on it, and that animal will jump up and hit the lid, hit its head. And about after a half a day, they quit jumping up, saying, boy, that hurts. I'm not getting out of here. And they stopped jumping as high as they could, and they start jumping about halfway. And then they'll take off the lid, and that animal will never try to jump out of that box again, even with the lid off. And they'll have children, and those children of those animals will never try to get out of the box. Even though they all possess the potential to jump out, they've allowed the lid to confine them. And see, the same thing happens in our life, is life has put on lids on us spiritually. Life has come along, we've hit our head on some things. We've gone through some pains, some trials, some really struggles, and we've allowed life to put a lid on us. But Scripture says that Jesus came to lift our lid. It says that all things are possible. Through Christ, all things are possible. Through Christ, who what? Strengthens me. Jesus came to lift the lid off our life. Jesus came to lift the lid off our dreams. Jesus came to lift the lid off our God-given potential. Allow it to happen. And it starts from the inside out. He's lifted that lid and allowed something new, the transforming, changing the way we think, changing the way we see what God's doing in our life. He lifts our lids. Romans 8, 5 through 7. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by who? The Holy Spirit, correct. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting your spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. That sounds like someone's lifting a lid right there, doesn't it? Man, think about that. Letting my sinful nature control my mind is like putting a lid on it. But letting the Spirit control my mind is like lifting the lid off. It leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. You ever seen someone who has great potential and they just don't know it yet? I meet a lot of leaders, and I'm like, man, they got so much God-given potential. And I get nothing brings me more satisfaction than seeing people that I know that have God-given potential begin to call that out of them and see them begin to walk in their God-given destiny, growing, experiencing potential they never knew they had. And God, it's like the light goes off and they realize, boy, man, we can do something great for God, and they dream again. They see things happening. But we've turned into a self-absorbed society, haven't we? We've turned into a self-centered society. I mean, we're the selfie generation, correct? How many teenagers think you're the selfie generation? Anybody want to take that? Okay. If you don't believe me, just look at this video right here. We can see it right here. My dad secretly taping his daughter in the back seat, doing selfies, Snapchatting or whatever she's doing in the Vine. Look at this. She's so absorbed, she doesn't even notice her dad's recording her in the back seat. She looks constipated to me. I'm not really sure what's happening. I mean, she's just going through. She's so absorbed in who she is. Thank you, guys. She's so absorbed in who she is, she doesn't even recognize her dad's recording her. She looks silly, doesn't she? I mean, we look silly. That's because we become so self-centered that we don't even realize it. We don't even realize that it's all becoming about us and me. You see, in order for God to change us from the inside out, we got to get rid of that self-centered spirit. Change the way we're thinking. It's not about me. I know your mama told you when you were growing up, you were the best thing since ice cream. I know she told you had all the potential in the world and you were the it of the it. But let me just tell you right now, you're not everything. And you're not half as good as you think you are. I'm not, you're not, because the world is bigger than me. And when I focus just on me, I miss out on my God-given potential. See, the Holy Spirit wants me to come in view of God's mercy for my life, God's mercy for your life. It's all about me. We got to change that. I'm going to close with this last scripture. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy." Now, isn't it amazing that we try to cover our sins even though God's already done the work on the cross? I mean, think about that. We walk around spiritually ashamed of some of the things we've done. And this is why we looked at God walking around like this. You ever play hide and go seek with your kids growing up? And you remember when they're first learning to play the game? They run. What's the first place they run? Either to your room or to their bedroom. And they get right in the middle of the bed and they take the covers and they hide up just like this on your bed. And they think just because they can't see you, that you can't see them. And you walk in, you can see them like a giant burrito on top of your bed. And we're like, whose kid is this? Who taught you how to hide? Really? I thought we should have used a different formula. I just tell you what, it affected your thinking. I told you not to skimp on that good formula. The doctor said to do this. Anyway. It's kind of silly, isn't it? It's kind of silly they think that they can hide from us. And we're out there in plain sight. This is the way we look to God all the time. God, I'm all right. I'm all right today. God, I didn't do any sin. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not talking about our salvation, because we know that Christ has already done that work of grace on the cross. And we know that our sins are forgiven. But why do we turn around and put a cover ourselves up like we had nothing to work on? I need to open up and say, God, from the inside out, work on me. God, from the inside out, I got some things that need some help. God, from the inside out, I got some things I need to work on. Here they are. Quit trying to cover up who the things we need to work on. Let's just expose them like we talked about last week. I did it. I admit it. I quit it. So forget it. Let's uncover it and say, God, do something on the inside of me. Do something on the inside of me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about, man, doing something on the inside of you. I need God to do a work on the inside of me. How many today will just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want God to do something from the inside out of my life. I want God to change me from the inside out. Yeah, there you go. Several hands going up. We're simply admitting to God, God, I'm ready for you to work from the inside out. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with this song. It says, I call you Jesus. Nobody's greater than you. Nobody's stronger than you. We're going to give our all to God this morning. And I want you today, if you raise your hand or if you want to join us in the front, I'm going to invite you to join us in the front today. As we close out with this song, it simply says, God, I give you everything. You're my healer. You're my mender, our master, our savior. Giving him everything today. And I want you to make it personal. God, I'm wanting you. I'm going to uncover myself and quit acting like I got transformation happening on the outside. How about I let transformation, change begin to happen from the inside out? Come on, let's worship the Lord.
We serve a God who's able to change us from the inside out. So this is our response. We're going to call on Jesus on three. 1, 2, 3, help us sing it.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this room, especially those who walked in the front today, saying they're ready for change from the inside out. God, I pray right now that, God, you begin to allow us to have these daily encounters with you. We have encounters with you, God, but we sense that you're wanting to speak to us, and we're allowing you to alter us from the inside out, that you're changing our life. Father, may we learn what it means to be a true follower of you. May we learn what it means, God, to be passionately in love with you, for you are changing us, giving up control of our life, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, allowing the Holy Spirit, may we give up control, more of us to the Holy Spirit. We give up control and say, Father, lead us, change us from the inside out. God, we're ready. We're ready for you to multiply in our life. We're ready for fruit to come out of our life that we've never seen before. We're ready for something to come out. And Father, we pray right now that that change begins to take place from the inside out. God, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. If you agree with that word, say amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord. Turn to give someone a high five and say, God is good. Thank you so much for being here. You guys have a great week.